Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I just had an asthma attack, so I don't know if my brain has the most oxygen in it, and so I can't be held responsible if I say dumb shit. How about you? How are you doing?
Well, I have no excuse, but I'm doing fine. My voice is finally back from the war. I want to apologize to everyone for this episode being delayed. It's because I fully lost my voice like 100% last week. So we couldn't do it. And now we're doing it. And I apologize.
Yeah, also, like, the Grand Prix is just really relentless. And, like, we just kind of needed a few extra days because it's hard.
Imagine there's people who, like, had to skate, like, back-to-back events and are, like, spanning the globe and traveling and skating. And we're, like, in our houses being like, yeah, the Grand Prix is just really hard.
Yeah, but they don't have to skate at all of them, and we have to talk about all of them. So whose job is really harder?
Honestly, whose job is harder? Comment below.
Comment below.
So this is the energy we're heading into this with. We are in Espoo in Finland.
That sounds like a furry name. Espoo.
The thing is, and I'm going to get right on top of this, friend of the pod and just the best person on the internet, Jackie Wong, tweeted before this event, and he was like, if you want to say Espoo, it's like Expo, but with an S. And then a lovely person on the internet, who I'm assuming is Finnish or Swami, I'm not sure what's the right word, but they were like, no, it's not that. I appreciate the enthusiasm, but it's Espoo. And mind you, I'm a ESL, I'm an English as a second language person, and Espoo and Espoo, and my accent are the exact same.
So I was gonna say, like,
confused.
No, but I was actually gonna say, though, like, an elongated O in so many languages is like O, which, like, depending on how you hear it, could be like you could be hearing it as ah or O.
I'm so sorry, but I caught myself a couple days ago sitting on the toilet just being like, Espoo? Like speaking into the universe. And I'm still not sure. But if you're Finnish, if you speak Finnish, please know that we're trying our best.
Espoo 7, the S Club 7 furry cover band.
Right out the gate, we're 3 minutes into this. So this is the last event before the Grand Prix final, which, as of time of recording, is happening this week. Can you believe?
It's just all happening so much always. I don't know. I liked this Finnish event. I thought it was fun and spicy. We had some new events this Grand Prix series. I was like, okay, Finland.
So real quick, we were in Finland this year because the Rostelecom was not happening because Russia is being busy doing war crimes. And I'm not afraid to say it, even though I live on the Black Sea and it's scary. Russia is not in this because of everything that's happening. So we were in Finland instead. And the Grand Prix has been in Finland before. In 2018, there was a Grand Prix of Helsinki instead of the Cup of China. So this is not the first time it's happened.
Also, you may remember that one as the one where one of the many ones where Yuzu's ankle was like, we were on 24 hour news cycle watch of Yuzu's ankle.
God, it just stresses me out. Also, Europeans and like Finnish nationals and a bunch of stuff has happened at this very venue as well and will be happening. It's a lot like Sheffield in that people are like, oh, what is this place? And like, why is an event happening there? And then they fucking come through and actually do a very, very good event.
Also, like, what a weird, I don't know, man. It's like weird to be like, what? Why are they having an event in a different place? Like, what? How? What are you talking about? The Grand Prix series has probably not even been going on for as long as you've been alive, unless you're like a kid. Like, why are you that surprised that, like, other countries exist?
Wait, now I want to find out. I should know this, but I want to find out how long.
And early 2000s, right?
No, 95.
Oh. Okay, well, so if you're...
Yeah, I'm older. I'm older than the Grand Prix series. So I feel like if you're... What is that? If you're, like, 20...
Well, all the skaters are younger than the Grand Prix series, yeah. So chew on that one and crumble into dust.
We're, like, coming in with the strong opinions. So, yeah, this is the last event of this regular Grand Prix season before the final, which is happening in Italy. And it was spicy.
It was spicy. Last time we talked, and which in a way that I am sure was in retrospect probably mathematically incorrect of me, about the probabilities of who would make the final and what had to happen. And I think that there were, like, really likely scenarios. And then there's what actually happened, which is not always the case. I feel like oftentimes with the Grand Prix math, we get down to the last event and we're like, this will probably happen. And then it does. But, like, this time was like, probability. Yeah. Was like, let's mix it up.
I love this shit. I love chance. And I was going to say I love mathematics, which is factually incorrect. I don't. I'm infamously very bad at numbers, but I very much enjoy, like, the chance element of, like, how many pieces had to fall into place for all of this to happen. Should we talk about it?
We should. Do you want to start with men or women?
Let's start with women. In the outline, I have women first. So let's talk about women.
I totally didn't even know you made an outline. You're so cool. Let me open it.
I emailed you about it. But that was ages ago before I lost my voice.
Okay. In third place with the bronze medal, Mana Kawabe of Japan.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Mana Kawabe. She's just come out and she's just put down such a good Grand Prix season. And I am fucking thrilled for her.
Yeah. And she came back after, like, in France, yeah, her free skate wasn't great. And this time she really pulled it out. And I realized, too, that between her infamous Grinch program and her now Billie Eilish program, that she's really, like, crafted her whole career around making short programs that pay tribute to the green-haired icons of pop culture.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Who's next?
Who's next?
Because I have two suggestions and both of them are terrible.
I truly could not tell you why this came to my mind, but my first, my knee-jerk reaction was Stu Pickles, the dad from Rugrats.
Does he have theme music?
I mean, she could skate to, I guess, the Rugrats song. I don't know if he has his own theme music. Stu's theme by Max Richter. No, I don't know.
The edgy reboot where we find out that all of the theories were true and all of it was actually Angelica's hallucinations.
Yeah, and it's all like fake Latin chanting and it translates to like, Stu, that's over 144 eggs.
Oh God. Oh my God. I honestly don't know a lot about the Rugrats because they weren't really a thing for me growing up, but I have this aunt. She's like my mom's cousin who lives in Germany. And when I was little, she was already living in Germany. She came back and she gave me a book about the Rugrats. One of those, like, book adaptations of, like, the cartoon, I guess. And I was fucking fascinated by it. So that's, like, the most... Well, and I've seen, like, the Paris movie. But that's, like, the most contact I've ever had with the Rugrats is actually in book form. So really? I can't really do this bit.
The novelization? Okay, the smart. Novelization. Okay, intelligent.
The Rugrats novelization. She gave me that and a set it's of, a like, Bildungsroman. And it was, like, the most amazing gift. But, yeah, here's my suggestions, right? So we can move on from my, like, deep Eastern Europeanness.
Good, because I will totally talk about Rugrats all day. I have such a history with the Rugrats. Maybe on the bonus episode, remind me.
Yeah, I don't know anything except that once I learned all of their lore, I was always, like, Angelica-kin because I have two cousins and my sister, all of whom were born a year apart from each other. So they were all, like, toddlers at the exact same time. And I was, like, ever so slightly older. I'm, like, 4 years older than my oldest cousin. So I've always, like, been, like, the Angelica of the situation because I was, like, just a little bit older. And, like,
Angelica
still
sucks,
in it.
Though.
Yeah, she does. But, like, I'm just okay.
We have to
stop.
We have to talk about ice skating. I can't.
Okay,
I could
so
do this
here's
all day.
The thing. Here's the thing. I was thinking about green haired icons, and I couldn't think of anyone green haired, but I did think of two green people, and my pitches are as follows. Number one, Monica Abe disappoints all of us, and she does a Cuban Pete program, and she does a mask.
It's a Mayorov reveal, and she's the third Mayorov brother.
She gets adopted into the Mayorov family.
They have to do a full, like, House of Dragons war to see who gets to inherit the Cuban Pete costume.
The mask, the actual mask, the mask of the mask. And my
That's actually, I just described the plot of that one season of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Anyway,
I truly have only seen one season of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and it's season 4. And that concludes my knowledge.
I think that's the one I haven't seen, so between by our powers combined. Anyway, who else? Who else?
Shrek.
Oh, yeah, or Mrs. Shrek.
And the thing is, her name is Fiona.
I'm sorry, but I'll put some respect on her name.
Put some fucking respect on her. She's a princess.
I know, it's true. I can't believe I reduced her to who she married. That's so backwards of me.
Yeah, she, like, there's, like, a whole journey she goes on where she's, like, a regular princess, and then she realizes that she's her own true self by herself, you know?
That it's
like
more fun deal. To be ugly. That was my takeaway.
Wow.
Is that it's more fun when you can just be ugly.
Yeah, she's just vibing. The point is, the Shrek soundtrack actually, inarguably, has some amazing fucking bangers. And if you see Monica Abe next season skating to fucking Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, I will be right.
Can I say something about that though? Because I have like a 90% sure feeling that I have somehow talked about this on this like fucking show before. But the Rufus Wainwright version of Hallelujah is on the soundtrack of Shrek, but it's not the one that plays in the movie. I'm like 99% sure.
I truly don't know. I cannot contribute to this because I don't know.
Hit me up in some sort of way if you know the answer behind this.
Yeah, but the thing is, there are so many songs in the Shrek soundtrack, in the Shrek multiverse soundtrack, that I could end up being right somewhere down the line.
Smash Mouth, right?
Yeah.
I'm a Believer, yeah.
I'm a Believer. You could have a I Need a Hero. You could have Living La Vida Loca. There is so much on the Shrek soundtrack that could arguably be skated to.
To say nothing of the Broadway musical.
Oh my god. Let Your Freak Flag Fly of the Broadway musical.
Isn't that Janine Tesori? Didn't she like
it?
Write
is
that?
Janine Tesori. It's very much because Janine Tesori. And the original cast is Sutton Foster as Fiona.
It is.
And
Brian Darcy Jacques
is Shrek. Which is like the most early 2000s musical theater bullshit we could possibly be doing.
No, but the reason that I know that is because when I was in, I think my final project for my college musical theater history class was who are the working like female writers and composers on Broadway right now, and it was literally like Lynn Ahrens and then like Janine Tesori doing fucking Shrek, and I was like, that was
pre fucking the gay one,
pre the gay one, it was post Millie and then pre Fun Home. Yeah, she
Fun
redeemed
Home,
herself
thank
for sure
you.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, I'm so sorry.
Someone skate to Fun Home. I don't know. Kaori Sakamoto.
Oh,
no, who said that? What? It was the wind.
It was the one. If Lisa Liu had not retired, I would watch Lisa Liu skate to Ring of Keys or Changing My Major any day of the week.
Just Fun Home on Ice, and they can and then Alyssa and Kaori can play different Allisons.
Oh my god! Okay, we're gonna table all of this because I need to talk to you about Monica Abe's free skate. Because I went on a bit of a tangent.
Talk to me about this.
Recording. So her free skate is Drowning by Anne Salah, which is, you might remember, as the song that Hubble and Donahue skated to last season. And it's a song which goes, and that's it. And that's the entire song. So I was like, what is the deal with this song? Why is it suddenly a fucking warhorse for like being in a beautiful pink dress and skating well? So I had to research it. Anne Salah placed like fourth or something on season 4 of The Voice France in 2015. And she has since released like a bunch of music, but none of it is as big as this fucking song.
And when did this come out?
I don't know. I had to call my dad because he, one, speaks French and two, knows a lot about the different voice franchises for many reasons, but he knows a lot about like the different international versions of The Voice. So I called him and I was like, hey, father, what is up with this? And he was like, frankly, I don't know. Ancela, I looked it up at the Voice France Finals Season 4, 2015. She sang Chandelier by Sia. She is this beautiful, bold French woman with like a buzz cut. And it's like a whole vibe, but it's very much a 2015 talent show vibe.
Is it as good as when I sang Chandelier at 2016 karaoke and then that weird drunk man told me that I had a blue aura afterwards?
No, frankly, and I'm not even doing this for a bit, you sounded much better. You had more heart, probably because the world was falling apart around you. But also, this woman, and you speak French and I don't, but she sings Chandelier, but she says Chandelier the whole time.
Huh.
Like, she'll be, I'm not gonna attempt to sing because it is 11 p.m. and I do have neighbors, but she goes, I want to swing from the chandelier, from the chandelier,
from the Chandler from Friends. I was trying to remember what, like, the French word for chandelier is.
It might be L. No, I looked it up because I was
is it Lumiere, like, from fucking Beauty and the Beast? Because that was what my first thought. God.
Let me, it's lustre. Lustre.
Yeah,
it's not. I was like, should know how to say chandelier. That sounds like a French word. And then I looked it up and it's not. So anyway, my point here being, this song has intense 2015 talent show vibes. It's very much like we have Bananas and Avocados, indie girl, edgy. And I think that both in the case of Habbo and Donahue last year, and in the case of Mana Kalabe here, all of them deserve better music.
Yeah, and I expect better from Mihoko as well, because she's capable of being a really spectacular choreographer. Yeah. Like, I mean, she also did Billie Eilish. Like, that's, I think, a fantastic program choreographically, especially, like, the step sequence that Mana loves, apparently. And I love it, too. It's great.
Yeah. I get it. She's like, Mana looks beautiful in this. She has like her baby pink dress and her hair down. And it's like, it's very touching, but like, she deserves better. I don't mean to be a hater. Like, it's just like, this song is so like, you know?
Yeah, you know what? It's an example of something that I think we see a fair amount in skating in general, that we see a fair amount this season, and that, weirdly enough, like, in this competition popped up a lot, which we're going to talk about, is this thing of, like, what if we have an absolute banger of a short program that is, like, contemporary and innovative and different and new, and then we have to make the free skate an apology by making it so fucking boring? Well, and it's like, why can't, it's not, the instinct should be, now the free skate has to rise to the occasion and be contrasting, but just as good and innovative. And instead, it's just like, what would have played at a Stop and Shop in 1994? And like, it's Jesus just boring.
Christ. I do not agree with this statement, but I'm going to use this as a segue. In silver, in qualifying for the Grand Prix final, we have Luna Hendrix from Belgium.
No. I think Luna is a fantastic example of this phenomenon.
I know you don't like her free skate. I vibe with it. I'm basic. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's totally fine. That's why we do this, is because opinions can differ.
You're not going to dox me for this?
No, because every time I need to send you like a birthday present or something, I have to text your mom for your address, so I couldn't if I wanted to.
You're like reverse doxing me by like repeatedly forgetting my address.
It's like kindness doxing, where like you find out their address and then just use it to send them some cupcakes.
Honestly, if anyone wanted to dox me like that, I would probably consent to it. So,
well, Christmas is coming. So
Christmas is coming. So Luna Hendrix, first of all, I'm thrilled for her. I'm so happy she made the final. It just feels right and correct with my fantasy. Secondly, just as a reminder, her short program is the Jimmy Ma tribute in fuchsia and orange. It's the Si Mama Mi Gente, very like hot and sexy, we're the club vibe. And then her free skate is a Poeta Fallen Angel situation. Talk to me about it.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say once again that I love the short. I think it's one of the best shorts of like the past however many years. I just love it. I think the free skate. Okay, so what I learned between the last time we spoke about Luna and this time is that this Fallen Angel is an originally composed piece that they like commissioned for Luna's free skate.
Wow.
Which is some Yuri on Ice shit. It's some Yuri on Ice shit, which
it is.
I have been thinking, sidebar, that because Christmas is coming and Yuri on Ice is for some reason a Christmas show in my heart, we should do a rewatch for Patreon. But I'm trying to think of a new way we could do it because we've already done it like 9 times. But we'll figure it out.
I could pull up the one time when I tried to create like actual spreadsheet spreads of how everyone qualified and like placed in every single event and why Otterbeck should be the Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah, well, we may never know unless Amber Glenn like calls them up and is like, hey, where's my movie?
Where is Amber Glenn's movie?
Anyway, I just kind of felt like if I paid for that music, I would want it to be more distinctive. But we all know my like snobby composer gripes about other modern composers, and I'm like, it's fine, it's just not my taste. But you know, I think that it sucks to see that she can do something so interesting in the short, and then in the free it's like, but I'm not doing it again, so sorry.
Yeah, the thing is, and we talked about it in Luna's last event, she was just gonna do a Poeta and then she was like, nah, I need more.
Yeah, my thing being that Poeta, if you just do it, like, is great. Like, remember Wakaba Poeta?
Oh, I sure like, do.
Yeah, it's like it's more in the like Spanish adjacent category, which is, I think, despite being really overdone this season, more exciting than just sort of like vanilla bland Pretty Girl. But you know, I mean, then there's also like, well, should a blonde Belgian girl be doing Poeta? I don't fucking know. I don't know. There's always discourse. So but I'm just saying, I would have preferred Poeta. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that she did her Poeta by itself early in the season. I have not watched it. I'm not sure if there is video on the internet of that. I would be curious. I'm not mad at it. I also appreciate that she had like a bit of a fire going on in this particular event, because I know she wasn't like super, super, super happy with her own performance, which is insane because like she was first in the short and she was first in the short, but I know she wasn't happy with the free skate. So I'm like curious to know how she like balances that. I do want to real quick go back to her short program with like the most shallow of comments, which is that between her and Caitlin Hawaiik, and I know I keep bringing up Ice Dance and I don't know why that's happening, I'm just going back to basics to like what I know, what I used to know. I'm very excited for Pink and Orange to become a thing. Like, we're seeing a bunch of it this year.
Yeah, it's so like 90s in a way. I love it.
There was someone else, I can't remember who, but there was one more person who was doing like a bit of an orange and pink situation. And I don't know where in like the designer group chat it was decided that that's going to be a thing this year, but I'm like so here for it.
I wanted to ask you what you thought about the free skate costume for Luna.
It's like a black and white situation, right?
Yeah.
That's like basically how I remember it. I could not tell you the details of it.
I'm going to send you a picture.
Okay, send me a picture, because like I don't know if that's shade, but like all I remember is like it's a mostly white with some black situation. Also, I do want to say while I'm waiting for this picture, my roommate and I, both of whom do makeup, we were talking about, he remembers Luna as, and I quote, oh, the one who always has a very good smoky eye, right?
Yeah, honestly, like as somebody who has sort of like small white girl eyes, I it's like she's an icon for me because she always makes them look so big and open. And I'm like, she's on my list of people whose makeup I try to copy.
Her makeup is always so beautiful. I'm looking at this. What do you want me to say?
I wanted to know if you liked it before I was a hater.
I'm just now noticing that there's feathers.
Because she's a fallen angel.
Yeah, she is a fallen angel, but it looks like chicken feathers. It's not my favorite. Yeah. Now that I'm looking at it up close, it's not my favorite. But honestly, like in motion, it reads fine.
It does. I think it is. I just don't like this shade of white on anybody whose skin is lighter than like very dark. I think it's really, 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 really hard to carry off as a white person. This like bright, 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 almost bluish white. The thing that bothers me is actually not the feathers. I'm like, put on more feathers, make it more feathery. I don't care. But a couple things that bother me about it. One, I'm not like a prude about visible underpants or whatever, but when you have just like tighty whiteies under a sheer white skirt, it's a little bit,
Well, listen, the kids. The children on TikTok have decided that ballet core is like the thing this season. And she's very much giving like ballet core, like rehearsal, like little tulle skirt, you know?
That's true. It's very like center stage. Like,
yeah. So if we
my favorite movie of all time. Like,
yeah. That was like one of the very first times we hung out. Megan Thee floor. I was so anxious.
You're also really early because you walked from your apartment anxious. And you misjudged how close we lived.
Because I was anxious. Let's not.
It was so cute.
That was like 8 years ago. Let's not talk about it.
Let's not. No, but the thing I actually, it's giving for me. It's the rhinestones, the cut, the like elastic strap thing. It's giving, you know, when you like first walk into the mall and there's this store that is like, it's like cruise wear / no. like mother of the bride. And it's called like Aria or like Lux or something. And it's very like, it's like David's Bridal, but for like not the bride, but for like the bridesmaids David's or the prom or whatever.
The bride. Oh my god.
It's giving that for me, but yeah, that's, you know.
I kind of want to see this opposite Maddie Skeezes' Black Swan as like White Swan, Black Swan situation. I think that would be
You know what this is?
Yeah? No? Do I?
Okay, first of all, yes, that's an amazing idea. Yes, agree. Second, this is a Brady Tennell short program dress situation where it's two dresses and individually I kind of like them both, but together they're just two different dresses together.
Yeah, I buy it. I will say I very much love the one glove. I always love a one glove.
Oh yeah, one glove is great.
I know that I personally would not be capable of skating in a one glove because it would throw my like entire like inner balance off. So I like very much appreciate it. Should we move on? She's made it to the final. We're going to talk about it more at the fucking
final. Sorry, Luna, that I was critical of you, but it's just because I, like, adore you.
No, she's fantastic. It was so funny because before the medal ceremony, people who were posting, like, the little, like, immediately off the ice interviews were like, oh, yeah, she's saying she's not happy with it. And then she's, like, at the same time on the screen, she's, like, at the podium, like, accepting her silver, just being, like, very, like, you know, smiling and gracious about it. And at the same time, it's like, oh, yeah, she was... She could do more, and she knows it.
I love how great she knows she is.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I love that we're living in a world where Luna fucking Hendrix of Belgium can be like, yeah, I know that I'm capable of so fucking much, and I'm going to show you.
Huge same.
I Huge respect same. It so much.
You know what else I respect so much?
Oh my god, tell me.
I respect the gold medalist, Mai Mihara from Japan.
Oh my god, say it again.
I respect Mai Mihara of Japan, the gold medalist, and going through to the final because she's got two gold medals, which is like, I mean, God, a few weeks ago we were like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Mai got to go to the final with Kaori? Mai fucking got more Grand Prix points than Kaori.
I worship at the altar of Kaori Sakamoto, and we all know that, but this feels so good and correct and earned. I'm just thrilled for Mai. It's, I mean, we don't need to rehash it, but she's been through so much. And she's back so hard. Yeah, I'm just very happy for her.
It's really beautiful. Like, I don't always know if I have like a ton to say about the programs because they're good. It's not like I have anything specific to be like, oh, that's a fun thing to make a joke about, or like, let me be critical about that thing. It's like they're seamless and great and good. And I don't have anything like negative to say about her skating. Like, I just think she's gorgeous and perfect. Yeah. And I'm so glad that like she's just the right time, the right season, that it's happening.
I like that you hit me with the mid-2010s fanfic writer three adjectives. Seamless.
Wait, what did I say?
Good or whatever you said. It was just the three adjectives.
And oh my God, I just let out a breath I didn't know I was holding, which is really bad because I had an asthma attack earlier.
No, please don't. You're so sexy. Ooh.
Oh, in italics.
Oh. Oh, and your mask drops for a second.
Oh.
Honestly, I live for this shit. But now that we've truly outed ourselves.
I've never read fanfiction before. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what fanfiction is. I can't wait for I'm hearing the tweets being typed up. Oh. Oh.
I know. You guys like it when we're like messy and nerdy and shit. It's funny.
Yeah, terrible news. I have several burner archive of our own accounts. Anyway, my Mihira is perfect and we're doing bits because there's nothing to say about it.
Yeah, other than like I'm just genuinely excited to see her. Like sometimes I don't know, I almost don't think of her as a competitor. I think of her as like the way that I think of like, you know, Kim like coming to,
she's
to
just
ice
there
shows
to
and
perform.
Just skate. Yeah. She's just there to perform and be better than like pretty much everyone else and just be a rock star and royalty. Like she's already won in my head. Like not, and I don't mean that in a way of like she has this in the bag. Like I truly have no idea. I just mean like, you know, she feels like a winner just in general.
Yeah, I was just rewatching her free skate right before we started recording. And there's, God, it's one of my favorite things in figure skating. And you can track it across like different seasons and different events. It's happened many times to many people. It's the moment halfway through a free skate when a skater just knows they got it.
Yeah.
And it's, God, it's fucking poetry to me. It's so good. There's a moment where she has to do a, I think it's, I'm gonna lie to you. I think it's a, either a Lutz or a flip, but she has to do a triple-triple, and she doesn't. She does a triple-double, and then she throws in a double toe at the end of it, just for, like, the shit of it, and it's amazing. And that's, like, halfway through, and then she has this moment of, it's a change edge spiral, and then she does, like, two transitional steps and does a Nina Bauer straight out of it. And it's just like such a sequence of events to happen to you in like the span of like 20 seconds where I'm like, this is a rock star.
Yeah. And like, I think that moment that you're talking about where the skater knows they won and is just like kind of taking a victory lap. It's like when you hit a home run and you're just running really slow. it's like that. And I think that's like the one exception to my like, oh, I hate it when skaters break character rule. Like, I love it when they break character for that. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it just brings me, it sparks joy every single time. And I honestly, with the way she's performed with her fucking 30 points going into the final, and I'm going to talk about this later as well, but my final predictions are up in flames in the best possible way.
Yeah, like, truly, I have no idea. I think if I tried to sit down and think about it too hard, I would probably, like, short circuit, to be honest.
And we will, in a little bit, in the second half of this.
So, shall we take a break? We'll do honorable mentions on Patreon, so check us out there. And if you want to hear how to get to the Patreon, check us out in this break that's about to happen right now.
Yay!
Yay, you're here. So Patreon, it's a thing we have. And if you want to go there, it's patreon.com/iced tea pod, where you can subscribe for a small monthly donation and get lots and lots and lots of bonus content, including our like honorable mentions of everyone else who was there at this event and the other Grand Prix events, and also like 3 years worth of random episodes. So check us out there.
Yeah, Patreon is fun and it's great. And also we have a newsletter now. As of time of recording, looks like the Twitter apocalypse may not be happening just yet. But just in case we disappear off social media, we do have a newsletter that you can sign up for. And I solemnly swear that I'm only going to send you an email if and when I need to reach out. But if you want to sign up for a newsletter and also just see like our full backlog of 4 seasons worth of episodes and also all the ways to support us and a little bit of info about ourselves and the show and like all of that, you can head over to our website, which is iceteapod.com, and just sign up for the newsletter and everything. And yeah. And I also just really quickly wanted to say thank you so much for everyone who's still listening during this break and during the season. You're supporting us through yet another Grand Prix season. And it just really means a lot. So thank you. That's it.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Leave us a nice review somewhere if you want to. And we love you.
We do love you so much. And you can say you love us right back somewhere where you can post reviews.
Yeah, honestly, we're not picky. You could just say it out loud to someone. Word of mouth is fine. Like,
we'll,
whatever.
We'll hear it. We'll know in our hearts.
They'll get back to us. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about boys.
Boys, boys, boys. Let's talk
about men.
Welcome to men. Bienvenue.
Bienvenue à...
Kevin Amaz, the bronze medalist. A Frenchman.
Kevin Amaz. First of all, I'm glad to see him back and not hurt.
Yes. And it was such a serve, in my opinion, to come back and be like, look, I know that I can't make the final because I was too injured to do 2 assignments and you can't get enough points with 1 assignment to make the final. That being said, I am going to ruin it for, like, at least 1 other person. Like, I am going to do my absolute best and make everybody... And, like, it's going to be other people's problems and it's fine. Like, good for him.
I want to know what it's like to be the French Federation right now.
Like, I'm not... I don't believe mathematically that Kevin, like, somehow... Like, I don't think Kevin doing really, really well, like, in any way hurt Adam's chances of making it, which, like, spoiler alert, he didn't. Like, I don't think that happened, but, like, it just is funny to me. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just... There's just something about the French Federation putting their eggs in 2 baskets in this particular way.
Yeah, but we need to talk about Kevin.
We do need to talk about Kevin. We do know his name, which is good because his short program is Still Don't Know My Name. And it's nice that we do.
It is nice that we do. And I think it's a great program. And I love that his short kind of opens with that weird half cartwheel thing. And like,
just getting it out of the way.
Do I think it's silly and like weird looking? Yes, but I love it because too many people are doing cartwheels. And Kevin came in and was like, no. This is me doing these things first, and I'm going to innovate it. And even if the innovation takes it to a place that is no longer aesthetically pleasing, like y'all bitches are going to know it's still my thing.
Yeah, I respect him as like, we've talked about it before, but he's already such a trendsetter in men's figure skating. I do want to real quick address that I do not enjoy seeing his coach at all.
And yeah, fuck those people. Yeah, his coaches suck.
Yeah, I wish she were elsewhere. I wish this entire team was different. But we've talked about it before, and like, what are we talking about it?
But if you're new and you didn't know, his coaches are bad people who like basically slut shamed a 12-year-old because she was being like sexually harassed by a famous ice skater guy adult, and they like blamed it on her and covered it up so he could go to the Olympics. So he's not Kevin, though. It wasn't Kevin, but the coaches are bad people.
Yeah, so fuck them.
But Kevin's short is so fun. Oh my god, it is. Kevin Amaz short program is always a fucking party.
I always wonder because like his like horns and. No, honestly, horns is my absolute favorite, but, like, he's always been, like, such a trendsetter in the way he moves and, like, all of his programs, his fucking Prince program. He's just always been so good at a short program, and I always wonder if he's gonna be able to, like, keep up the promise of his own short programs. And he's still delivering. Like, he's still... managing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have said that you could elevate, like, Question of You or Horns or, yeah. or any of, or like, you know, and then he comes in with this, and I'm like, no, this is like the next level. Like, it's still, it's great. The, like, he's making so many cheeky little faces. He's like thrusting and feeling himself up. It's fantastic. And I love it.
Yeah.
And also, you know what? Somehow not the gayer of the two programs, which you love to see. No, this is a man who gave himself some room. You know what I mean?
To continue to je suis gay.
Yeah, exactly.
La-la. We say with like so much love and respect. And there were, for several people at this event, but like for him as well, there were pride flags in the audience, which just melts my heart every time it happens. And like the people with the flags, if you happen to be listening, it's just the best. But his free skate is Gladiator. Or as I'd like to call it, a Kaori Sakamoto tribute program.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's Gladiator, but it's Song of Achilles, apparently. And I...
But where? Like, it's literally the Gladiator soundtrack.
Okay, sir. So it's the Gladiator soundtrack. Apparently, according to the best man on earth, Mark Hanretty. Is that how you say his name? I feel like I'm always butchering it.
It's Hanretty.
Hanretty. Mark Hanretty. He said that Kevin said that he read Song of Achilles, which I still have to read.
Oh my god, you're hard, Megan.
I know I'm gonna love it because I love romance and shit, and so I just need to like wait till I'm more emotionally stable.
It's a tiny book. It's not even that big of a book. You can read it in
the audiobook, maybe.
You can audiobook. You can audiobook it in one day.
Yeah, probably could. I drive a lot. Anyway, so Kevin read it and then he was like, I want to do a program about this. And
which is
and
the
I guess,
biggest oh la la je suis gay of my life.
Yeah, because it's a gay book. And I guess Gladiator was like, this is about people of that general time and place doing those sorts of things. I mean, like doing war, not gay sex. I don't know.
I'm sorry, this is so unrelated, but I think the full Song of Achilles audiobook is like 8 hours, all told. So do that to yourselves. It's a very good book. It's very sad.
But I've seen Kevin Amaz's free skate, though, and that's only like 4 minutes. And I feel like that's more my speed, attention span-wise. There's some archery going on. I assume someone in the book maybe has a bow and arrow. I don't know. I thought that could be a connection. I loved it. I thought it was nice and pretty. I think that like Yuma and Kaori kind of own Gladiator now, yeah. But the fact that he was like, it's Gladiator, but it's not.
It's like, Greek light.
Greek light. Good
it's
Lord.
It's Greek, but gayer, and I appreciate it. It's so funny to me because like, it's not just like Gladiator original soundtrack. It's very much like Now We Are Free, which is like the big Gladiator moment. And he's like, no, but it's not a Gladiator program.
It's Now We Are Gay.
Now We Are Gay. And I appreciate it. Honestly.
I do. I think it's hard for Kevin to do a boring anything. I think that this is also slightly an example of like banger short program, free skate, kind of like. But I like that it's high concept. I like that the concept isn't just like leave a light on or some shit like it has been in the past.
It's leave a light on. But what if we kissed and we were both gay and we were in ancient Greece?
It's like leave a light on and then lighthouse and then light pornographic literature.
Oh god. But like light it to read it. Like don't burn it. Like we're talking ourselves into a corner here.
Well, I mean that didn't even occur to me, so I guess I'm just like not problematic.
Oh my god, I am so problematic. You know who's not problematic? I would hope.
Shin Sato in second place with the silver from Japan.
Yeah. Qualifying for the Grand Prix final with his silver. Shin Sato from Japan.
He was like the outside, like he had an outside chance and he fucking took it. He showed up. He was not here to play. He was here to get slay. To the Grand Prix final. He was here to slay and he did.
Yeah, I feel like we've already talked at length about both of his programs and we will again because he is making the final. I, again, obsessed with his short. Obsessed with his short.
Yeah, I don't know if either of... I like both of his programs. I don't know if either of them stands out as like, holy shit, this is an all-time great program for me. But like, they're just both so solid and good that I think he was really well set up to come in and be like, you know what? I'm taking my Grand Prix final spot. Thank you.
Honestly, I respect it. I also don't know if it's that much his program, his short, that I love. Again, I just love Carol of the Bells, which again is adapted from a Ukrainian song about... the winter harvest, not harvest, but like the winter Wow.
Winter abundance, right?
Yeah, the like winter prosperity and abundance and like going into the new year and all of that. I saw a bunch of TikToks of people being like, the West culturally appropriated Carol's bells. And I'm like, that's not what culture appropriation means. It's adaptation.
Yeah,
it's
what? Fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I was on TikTok up late because I make bad choices in my life. Anyway, it's an adaptation of a Ukrainian song and it fucking bangs and he is amazing and we're going to see it at the final.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just really impressed by him. I think that was like the thing I was like, yes, wow, impressive.
I'm impressed by, I know we talked about it kind of last time, but like, I don't know to what extent people know like their chances or the math of it or like all of that. I don't know how much you would want to know or like would care to know. But he is like a prime example of like there was shit on the line and he did not let him like he did not let that sway him in any way, shape or form and like just delivered.
Yeah, there are people for whom I think that kind of pressure would like really hurt them mentally. But he was just like, I'm the underdog, but I have a chance and I'm going to take it and we're going to do good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I respect it very hard. And I can't wait to see him at the final. The final is going to be spicy. We're going to talk about it in a second.
We are, because the gold medalist is unsurprisingly also going. And that is Ilya Malinin of the USA.
USA. Good for him. I mean, I would have been surprised if he didn't. Basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, he's just been so like rock solid. And I think that with a really high technical content layout the way he's had, it can be a little unpredictable, but, you know, it wasn't. So,
yeah, I continue to be in the camp of holy shit, he can do the impossible shit. Wow, wow, wow. But also, he's a funky little dude. And I really just appreciate the vibes.
Yeah, I think that he kind of his vibes like really advanced from from Skate America to Espo. And he's gotten I feel like we were like really ragged on him a lot for I Put a Spell on You and like being an inappropriate choice for him. But like I'm like, he's selling it a little bit. Like it's a shit song, but I mean like he's selling it a little bit.
No. He has been selling it. I'm just like still questioning how we arrived there.
See, I think he's been working harder at the presentation. Like, I think he knows very, very well, like, what his limitations are, and he's been working hard. And I'm like, yeah, there's some improvement there. I see it. He's a funky little dude. And
there was no attempted vest this time. He just committed to no vest, which was nice.
Yeah, he accepted that the universe decided for him that the vest wasn't his journey. It wasn't his path.
I am happy for that because and he's like following in the great tradition of like fuchsia and magenta are like the thing. I think the color of the year, like the Pantone color of the year of next year is like a nice magenta. So I think we're just like seeing a lot of that.
Did they already announce that?
Yeah. And it is, it's called Viva Magenta. And it is very
Viva
much like
magenta.
Thank you. It's very much like a bright, like, pink fuchsia magenta fantasy.
Good for her. Good for her.
So he's a trendsetter in that, I guess.
Yeah, and his free, he did the quad axel again.
Yeah.
It was amazing again. It was great.
And this is no, like, commentary on him. It's just so funny to me to see, like, the impossible done to the soundtrack of a TV show that's very much about teenagers doing illegal substances.
Yeah!
I know he's not doing that! I know that, but it's just funny to me to be like, hey, Euphoria, and what if figure skaters, but Euphoria, and then he does a quad act, so it's like, the meta-narrative is funny to me. Jokingly, yeah, I'm not alleging anything.
It's appropriate, and I love it. I think something that I can't not think about every time I see Ilya Malinin now is that one clip from one of his lives where he's just, like, all you see is, like, him and then, like, a Naruto poster in the background. And someone is like, do you like Naruto? And he reads it aloud, and he goes, do I like Naruto? Not really. I don't know. Everything about it is not great. Really. Like, the way he pronounces Naruto, like, it's French. Like the way he says it, I don't know, it, everything about it, I'm like, this kid is so fucking funny.
I appreciate his entire vibe. I know people on the internet have been trying to start shit about his vibe, and until He comes into my house and calls me names. I'm going to continue to believe that this child has cool vibes.
But I mean, it would not be a complete Grand Prix final without Ilya, and I'm happy he made it, and it's going to be spicy.
It is. The men's final. Should we get into it? We are going to do honorable mentions for the boys as well on Patreon, so like join us there for that. Real quick before we head into final world, should we attempt to do predictions?
Well, I think for the men, it is going to be between Ilya and Shoma. And I think that Shoma has proven that he can beat Ilya on the strength of his components, like with a clean-ish skate. But that's like a question mark for Shoma.
Yeah, I think that's basically going to be it. It's going to come down to we're seeing kind of a new chapter of like insane technicality versus, yes, technicality, but insane components skating. And then in terms of bronze or like anything else about the podium, I could be anything.
I predict Cow is probably up there.
Yeah, well, all of them are up there because all of them have done somewhat good. So it's really, really going to come down to like how they do on the days. Also, there is 4 Team Japan dudes on in the Grand Prix final, which good for them.
Yeah, and then the alternates are in order: Adam Seo-hyun-fa of France, Jeonwon Cha of Korea, and Kazuki Tomono of Japan. So good for them. And I feel like it's probably kind of sad that Adam missed out on getting to the final. But I mean, you can't say that Shin Sato didn't earn his way in.
Yeah.
So.
It must suck to have a gold and still not make it, but, like, that's math, I guess.
What a cool field. I mean...
Yeah. No, it's... And I know we've, like, kind of been, like, skating around this, if you will. Skating around, like, the general sentiment of this Grand Prix season. But it's, like, personally has been making me very excited for this, like, following Olympic quad that we have entered. Very much at this point. There's a lot of shit happening and it's very exciting.
Absolutely. And what about for the women?
You could not pay me. I do think, like in my heart of hearts, I do think it's going to be like some sort of my Luna and Kaori podium.
No, I agree. That was what I was going to say too.
But like, could either one of them be shaken and something insane happens? Yeah.
I do want to say, while we're talking about the women's Grand Prix finalists, that I haven't really been keeping up with the exhibitions galas this season just because it's just been a lot. I watched Kim Yilim's gala skate, and it's just so beautiful. And I was like, this is what we've been looking for, because like I've been very critical of like, oh, her programs are like boring and like they're not good enough for her. And like then she skates her gala skate in like black pants and like a baggy white Oxford and she's just like being really, really like sincere and heartfelt and skating to pop music, and I'm like, this is great, this is the skater that I felt like was in there. More of that, please.
Yeah I always wonder about skaters who like really come alive in their galas, which is not to say that they're not like incredible competitors, but there's like skaters who like save the vibes for galas.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, like I feel like the Korean team always has really, really good galas, and I think part of it is like the ice show culture and like, you know, Kim and all that.
Oh, for sure.
But it's interesting how that varies from team to team. Like I think in certain federations, like I sort of get this vibe from the American Federation sometimes, to be honest, like of it being sort of like last minute, like, oh shoot, I have to do an exhibition. So I don't know. Not for everybody, but it's interesting to see how that varies. Vibes.
I keep mentioning them. I miss her. Just real quick, the women alternates are Rion Sumiyoshi, Young Yu, and Hyun Lee in that order. So if anyone ends up sick or something, it's gonna be in that order.
There are 4 different countries represented in the women's Grand Prix final. Can you fucking believe?
Oh God, I'm sorry, but it feels good.
I'm not even sorry. I love it.
It feels good. It feels exciting. I am excited to watch a Grand Prix final that's not a bunch of scared teenagers. It feels good. And honestly, low-key, like, I have my personal preference of how I want to, how I want this to go. But whatever happens, I know it's going to be a vibe.
I'm just looking through Wikipedia to see, like, when the last time was that there were four different countries in the Women's Grand Prix final.
This is very important. Let's find out.
It was 2017. And it was Alina Zagitova and originally Evgenia, but then she withdrew. So it was Alina Zagitova from Russia, Wakaba and Satoko from Japan, Caitlin Osmond from Canada, and Maria Sakkova also from Russia, and Carolina Kosner from Italy.
God. That feels like a billion years ago.
Yeah.
I
and then if you want to hear something really grim, the junior uh-huh. level qualifiers that year were all of the Russian military girls and Rika Kihita. Yeah.
Just heading into a 5-year stretch of hell.
But also Sofia Samadurova, who remember when she was European champion
with burlesque? A friend of mine recently did a burlesque number at our drag show. And I don't mean like burlesque is the art form. I mean burlesque is the Cher and Christina Aguilera movie. And they were performing and I was sitting in the wings just like, God, remember Sofia Samadurova? Oh, I miss her. I don't miss Rusfed and I'll never miss Rusfed and fuck Russia. But I miss Sofia Samadurova as a singular person.
Yes. And I also miss events with like a really good robust plushie corner situation but once again there were not
nothing.
That many
there was nothing no
I will tell you what I have
there was
I have a few
my
got, I have a few.
My got a bunch of bunnies the was his name bunny
yeah well I'll tell you so first okay, of all I wrote Lucas Amumin. It's just what I wrote. Lucas Amumin. He could have been Amumin or received one. I'm assuming received based on the context.
Well, you never know because Moomins can shape change.
They can.
Yeah, that's like a whole thing in Moomin lore is they can like become different shapes and like.
I'm sorry, I don't know Moomin lore.
I didn't grow up with the Rugrats, but the Moomins are so personal to me.
Yeah, I'm not European, so I'm not sure about all the individual powers and capabilities of Moomins. I actually thought Moomin. I didn't know it was a race. I thought it was like a guy named Moomin who was like a hippo. I don't know. I should stop. Okay, my Mihara was the one who got like mostly interesting plushies. And are you there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking if I'm like conflating the Moomins with the other guys.
The Snegberts or whatever?
There is the Barbas who are also a thing. It's the bar there's a French American picture book
Babar
the Bar Papa which is about like a bunch of shape-shifting thingy things as well. I'm conflating all of my European blobs. Carry
and Muzzy
on.
hey Monica Wabe could do a Muzzy program. That shit has some bangers.
Yeah, there you go.
A-E-I-O-U, I love you. Hell yeah. Okay, so back to Mai's bunnies. She received a bunny in a Santa hat. No, Santa outfit, sorry.
She sure did. And that bunny is a character that has a name, and I am not familiar with it.
Sorry to this bun. She also got a pink bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And she also got, like, a yellow guy in a black hat that I'm sure is something. But I don't know what it is, and I'm sorry. So if you know what that yellow guy in the black hat was, hit us up. Let us know.
Please tell us.
Also, Linnea Cedar got a mouse. Yeah. Linnea Cedar got a mouse. And Linnea Cedar is a fucking great name for a mouse. In, like, what I assume is... I don't know. I've never done the Redwall thing either. I'm, like, a bad consumer of child fiction and literature. But doesn't that sound like a good mouse name?
Linnea Cedar.
Yeah, it's like foresty. It's like foresty and cool. Like, she's the protagonist of, like, Fern Gully 3, 2, 4. I don't know how many there have been.
I could not tell you.
Anyway, that was it, unfortunately. So I really hope that the plushies come out in droves
in
for
Italy.
The final. Yeah.
I think this concludes it. I think this is the Grand Prix series up until the final. Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if I have anything crazy for Social Media Corner, but I do want to recommend that you check out the Olympic Channel's YouTube video of Stefan trying to teach Shoma French, because it's really funny.
I watched that on the tram ride home and the train ride home, and it made me feel insane.
Yeah. And it's also like it's in English, French and Japanese, which are like the only three languages I sort of understand. So I felt like a genius. I felt like I had a galaxy brain for like the 2 minute
so smart
length of the video. I mean, no, but I pretend to be when I watch that. It's great.
No, you are very smart. And on this note, this has been our Grand Prix coverage.
Yeah, if you take away one thing from our Grand Prix coverage, it's that I'm very smart.
Megan is very smart. Thank you so much for listening to us and supporting us through yet another Grand Prix season. We are going to be doing honorable mentions on Patreon for this. Before we tell you that link once again, Megan, do you want to hit me up with the list? The list of all lists, the list of people who are helping us keep this clown car on the road. Keep this chariot full of gladiators.
Full of gay people.
Chariot full of gay people.
It's like chariots of fire, but it's like chariots of gay people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So thank you very much to Christine, Elise, Taylor, Shades, Boom Boom Ray, Aditi, Rhea, Elizabeth, Zoe, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Eva, Robin is Trans and Tired, A Different Robin, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra in the Winter, Linnea March, Elena, Kenneth, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Vox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Barbara, Sunny, A Different Barbara, Shoma Cowrie Supremacy, in parentheses, Sally, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
I'm so fucking grateful that y'all make my little Patreon dance get longer and longer every time. We're getting closer and closer to my little Patreon dance being a short program in and of itself. And I cannot thank you enough. It makes me so happy.
Yeah. If you donate a bajillion dollars to us, we'll learn how, like Ned actually knows how to skate, and we'll do a short program to a spoken word piece spoken of me word. Doing that. And it's spoken word, and then it's mostly cartwheels in nature. It's very on trend.
Yeah, it's the trendiest. If you want to give us any more ideas about programs that we should skate to, or programs about people with green hair, the internet still exists, allegedly. Megan, where can people find you?
You can find me at MeganKelleher3 on Twitter. Where can they find you, Netta?
Oh, God. I'm at Netta Marie. That's N-E-D-A Marie. On just about any social media you can think of. I'm also N_ice skating on Instagram. If you want to see me skate, I'm kind of back-ish. And it's been very exciting. So if you want to see that, that's on there. And you can find both of us on the internet at IcedPod. We're still on Twitter. We will be live tweeting the Grand Prix final in Milan, God willing. And you can also sign up for our newsletter and keep up with us should Twitter end on IcedPod.com.
Hell yeah. We will see you at the final.
See you in Milan, Italy. Baby.
It's going to be just like White Lotus season 2. And I'll be Jennifer Coolidge. And who do you want to be?
I have not seen that show.
You can be like the expensive sex worker who's totally scamming that kid, or Aubrey Plaza or somebody.
I will be Aubrey Plaza for the rest of my life. Thank you.
See you in Milan, y'all. Perfect. Bye.
Ciao.